This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
I know that the Lord still has so much to say to us in this final session. And I just want to encourage us to open up our hearts, you know, and our minds. You know, let's not be distracted. Let's listen, you know, as we glean from older women. One of the anchor scriptures for this session, you know, that Mommy has shared in our hearts is that let the older teach the younger. You know, and that list is just so endless because there's so much to learn from the older. You know, and older is not necessarily by age. It's not necessarily because you are married that you're automatically older. Marriage doesn't make anyone older. You know, it's not just by age because you are at a certain age. If not, we can as well go to all the old people in the world and be listening to them. But that old is an age in wisdom. Right, an age in dealings, an age in how, you know, a woman has allowed the dealings of the Lord to find expression in her. So we are going to be listening to some of our mommies in the house, and I'm going to be calling them one by one. You know, these are women that, you know, God has raised, God has helped. You know, we can see their lives, and, you know, we are utterly blessed by how God has helped them. We'll just go right into the discussion because of our time. The theme of the meeting, as we must have heard from, you know, different people who have come up to speak, is on the making of a bride. And, you know, one of the things that Mommy has been laboring on, you know, we had vigil here, we had several meetings, is on that definition of really who a woman is. The world has seen different definitions of a woman, right? They've seen, and today, Mommy Meg, Mommy, you know, spelled out different definitions, the independent woman or the woman that is not independent. On one hand, they have seen a woman that is utterly dependent because, you know, she's not doing anything. Everything is her husband. On another hand, we are seeing another generation of women be raised. What exactly is that, you know, definition of woman, you know, that's the Lord would expect of us? So, you know, that would be the first question I'll just ask. What exactly is the plan of God for that feminine gender? In your own words, like through your own dealings, your experiences, the way the Lord has helped you to understand your role as a woman in, you know, staying in that capacity as a helpmeet. Through maybe your single estate, your married estate, can you just describe, you know, for the number of years you've been married, how your definition of womanhood has changed through the years, and much more through your seasons as a single sister, newly married, newly wed, experienced mom? Can you just describe, you know, how that definition, how you have come to see the definition of who a woman should be, a woman after God's heart? So I don't know who wants to go first. Just in 3-4 minutes, just summarize, you know, who you think, you know, is a woman in the heart of the Lord, and how the Lord has helped you to see that woman, even in your own seasons and in your own life.
Thank you so much, Mama Kari. So, okay, I would say from my own perspective, definition of who a woman is, sincerely, if anybody has asked me this question, maybe some years back, I don't have a very good definition, because I don't know, but over the years, I've come to see that a woman is who the Lord says a woman is. You know, there's a definition in his heart that nothing in this world can explain. You know, for me, my growing up was not the picture of the woman in God's heart, sincerely, because if I can remember my growing up, anything I can remember from my growing up was a rebellious child, a child that lacked fear. I can stand and look to my dad in the eye, like, and I don't care. You know, it was that bad, but, you know, coming to see how God came through and transformation that came along the line, I realized that nothing else can give definition to a woman outside of God. Nothing outside of God would give definition of who a woman is, be it single, be it a married person, in whatever estate. Only God has the full definition of who a woman is. I would just say a short story, you know, that helped me see how that, if I am outside of what God defined a woman to be, I am not beautiful. You know, okay, Mom Meg said something about how that there's an estate a woman can be and it smells, awful smell, you know. I see how that, you know, from a place of smelling wrongly, the Lord did the work that brought me to a state where a man can see me and say, yes, I want to marry you. Like I said earlier, I grew up as a rebellious child. Like, I'm the first child of the house, but sincerely, this is not the Esther that was like some 10 years back. And then my dad came around to my house and, you know, we're just talking and he said something like, it was just this morning I was talking to your brother. And this is my brother, I'm like 20 years older than he is. You know, and my dad was like, at this morning I was just talking to your brother that, if you want to learn lesson, go and meet your sister. I will send you to Esther. And, you know, just brought a memory. And my dad just told me a short story that it's not like I'd forgotten, but bringing it back, I felt ashamed, but much more, I had to give thanks to God for how much of work he had done and how God can actually beautify a woman. There's a picture in his heart, and only God can work that thing in a person. No other person, nothing can work that thing, you know? I remembered when I gained admission into University of Lagos, and before I gained admission, I was in a relationship, like as early as age 16. I was in a relationship, and it continued like that until I gained admission. And somewhere along the line, the guy, though we're almost age mates, like 6 months apart, but he came into a level of financial freedom that he could do a lot of things. And me growing up rebellious, even before I had anything, there's just a way I just felt I knew how to do everything. You cannot tell me what to do. Even as my parents, you can't tell me what to do. You know, I know what to do. I know how to go about things. So when I met this guy at the end, he does a lot of things for me financially. So when it was time to pay for school fees, I just told my dad that I shouldn't worry. I just didn't know where that thing came from. I told my dad, I said, Daddy, this school fees, if I'm not paying it today, I think he's late. Meanwhile, they didn't tell us anything like that in school. It was just registration time. But something just came upon me, and I was like, Daddy, if I'm not paying this school fees today, it's late. And then my dad was like, okay, King Mumashi, and all of, sorry, let me not speak vernacular. You know, it was like, what will I do this? Okay, and my dad sells engine oil. So he decided to sell a drum of engine oil because his daughter wants to pay school fees. That day he went around and sincerely he sold it at a ridiculous price, not even the cost price. So just so he can pay the school fees. But because I felt I had some sort of backup somewhere, I just let my dad alone. I left home. From my house, I just called the guy I was dating then. How far? Well, school fees, we have to pay today. Nobody told me. But I just said, we have to pay school fees today. I was like, hey, why did you tell me earlier? And it's not an issue. Where are you? I said, I'm at home. Okay, he said he's coming. Can you just take a bike to meet me at so place? Then we'll go to school from there. From the place I went to meet him, like from my parents' place, I knew people that came for my introduction, they might know how far. From that place, the guy came to meet me. We took bike to Unilag. From somewhere in Ogun State, we took bike to Unilag. I was that fearless. So my dad kept calling on phone. Esther, where are you? I didn't pick his call. When we got to school, I didn't know how my dad made it. When we got to Yaba, I saw my dad. He came down from a bus and then he boarded this Unilag shuttle bus to school. So I was looking at my dad in front. I told this guy, I said, don't worry. He's just going on his own. I'm with you. So we got to school. I was still looking at my dad. In fact, his boss was just right in front of us. We were coming behind. I was just looking at my dad. I didn't send anybody. You know, when he entered school, I saw him. He entered multi-purpose hall. I think he went to make an inquiry about, you people said school fees is due for today. Blah, blah, blah. Myself and this guy already entered a bank. We went to pay for school fees. By the time we're done, we came out and my dad called. Esther Eboluwa, Deka Losan. I said, So I picked it. I said, Dad, don't worry, we've paid school fees. I felt my dad broken. He didn't say so much, but he was broken. But I will not lie, everything that happened, that did not touch me one bit. I was not moved. I continued like that to a point where actually my dad cursed me. Because I knew I went far. But it was because I lacked fear. And growing up, sincerely, I never think I can remember growing up any point where I actually had fear or reverence for my parents. My memories of growing up was, I can look at you at the face and nothing. I'm not afraid. It has gotten to a point where my dad wanted to beat me. He carried this small sword, put it, and was like, you this girl, why are you fearless? Wanted to throw it. I just stood like, okay. You know, at that point, my dad was just looking at me. He could not see anything. My dad started giving me blue, like Iboluti, wah. I'm saying this thing to just say how much of a beauty God can wrought in a woman. Like, sorry, it's a very long story, but I'm just saying definition of who a woman is. You know, that was the definition that the world was already giving to me. That's not the definition that God is giving a woman. But, you know, I don't know what happened. That at the point I entered Unilag, before I entered, I knew that something was wrong with me. But how to come out of it, I actually did not know. I don't know. I knew something was wrong. But it took my immediate younger brother. Okay, he went out of the house for a season. And then by the time he moved out of the house, he encountered Christ. Though my parents, they were believers. So. But I don't know, but the growing up was just rough somehow. So he took my brother going out of the house. He went to one of our cousins and then somewhere he met the Lord. By the time my brother came back, he started speaking in tongues. Wow, that thing fascinated me. Like, wow, somebody can be like this. Okay. How can I get it? Actually, don't know. But one prayer I prayed at that time when I was about going to school was, God, I don't know anything, but if there's anything I'm asking for, let my going to school be an encounter with you. I can't tell where the prayer came from, but, you know, that was the prayer I prayed. So when I joined school, my first year, I was going from home at first. In fact, at the point I even got hosted, I had to be going back home every weekend for service. But I think something happened towards the end of first year. Okay, during exams. So I had to stay back in school for that weekend. I joined RCA for the first time and I was slain by the worship session. So at that point, it looked like something I can't take, but I was still drawn to the... Okay, one thing that discouraged me from not really going was because I actually didn't have so much clothes. I felt like, ha, if I start attending this church, the first time I entered, I saw the way everybody was dressed. I'm like, ha, this is not a place for you. Do I enjoy the worship session? But I feel like I don't have what people are wearing. I cannot stay here. So I would rather just go back home where I minister. I have my choir uniform that I can wear every Sunday than stay here in RCF. You know, but second year, I didn't get hosted. I had to squat. But I saw Shege where I squatted. And that was the beginning of the turnaround for me. That I could not stay during exam. The lady that was one of the bona fide in the room I stayed, she started doing all sorts of drama that she had to go and report that there's a squatter in the room. In fact, when she reported, the porter, they were not moved. They're like, it's okay. She's the only person in the room. She's the only squatter. So what's the story about it? But during VBS, I think VBS 2.0 or so, you know, I could not stay in the room because there was a lot. In fact, the lady was like, she was possessed. That if I had come to the room, she could stab me. So I could not stay in the room. I had no other option than to go for VBS. I didn't plan to. You know, that was where major shift started. And then Pastor Emeka ministered that day. The song he sang that day was, Babaye, Jackie, Joe, Barade, I cannot forget. And I was slain, like, this man is not a Yoruba man. He ministered this way, and then the ministration touched me. And I would not lie, from that day, I had a different definition from what I had had. That day was the day the definition of who a woman is actually changed for me. And I can tell now that journey from that point up to this time, the definition is evolving. But one thing I'm seeing is that the only true definition of who a woman is in the Lord. And I can only get there if I follow. I have to follow to come to the full definition. Because the truth is, I am here and I cannot say I have the complete definition because I'm evolving day in, day out. But for me to come to that apex of the definition, I must follow all through. I must follow all through, holding nothing back. I know that I've not come to a place where I am able to lay down all, but I just know and I believe that following all through, because that Esther of that old time, there was a smell she had. But right now, it's a different smell. Because somewhere the day my dad came to the house and was saying the story, for me, I didn't see it as anything. But much later, while I was just thinking, why? Mommy told me that I was going to part of this and my dad came today, you know. That day, he shared a lot of testimony that I was wowed that I don't know I've changed this much. I might not be able to go into a lot of details of things that happened growing up, but, you know, seeing how much the Lord has worked something on my inside that my dad, you know, I don't know, but for a child to offend a dad, a father, to the point where he can open his mouth and say, this girl, I cost you. I know how much of pain I cost them then. But now I know how much of praise reports they are even saying about me when I'm not there. Okay, there was a day my younger sister account was like, I don't know, daddy in church today was just saying that all of you in this church, you don't understand what God is able to do. One of these days, I will call my first daughter to come here and come and just minister to all of you. And I'm like, even me, I'm still seeing that there's so much lack. But if this man, this Baba, I know how much I've cost him pain. If he can say this, God, I can only return all the praise to you that only you has the true definition of who a woman is. And I trust God to be able to follow through to the end.
Thank you so much, Sister Esther. That was a blessing. Yes. Okay, so, you know, we thank God for this platform. It has been a lot of blessing to me in particular. You know, the question on how my definition of womanhood has been, you know, right from maybe my single estate till married estate till motherhood. You know, maybe for me in particular, I think maybe one thing the Lord keeps showing me is how that it is not zeal. It is not by zeal. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But it is God that shows mercy. You know, maybe personally, I grew up in a home that, yes, my parents married, very beautiful. You like them. So that also brought a definition in my mind of who I think a woman should be. You know, how that I just felt like, oh, I've heard so much stories of how they grew up together. My mom was sacrificial. She did this, she did that. And I just felt that I can just walk into it and just do all those things, but does not work that way, right? You know, I just thought that, yes, me too, first child, there's a lot of zeal, there's a lot of suffering first children go through. Me, I went through plenty of suffering. I had to think that my mommy was not the one that gave birth to me. Like in secondary school, when she beats me, I'll go and show my friend in school that I just had it at the back of my mind that somebody will come and claim me one day. That that's my mother. But you know, but we thank God for those trainings, you know. And, you know, fast forward to, you know, growing up, leaving the house, you know, grateful to God for the provision of hostel. Yes, you know, whereby you are able to meet with other people and you have left that comfort of your home. You know, in as much as I did a lot of, I can do this, or a woman, I know that a woman should do this. I know a woman should take care of her husband, right? Because we cook for my daddy every single day, 5 a.m. If you like, sleep by 3, you wake up by 5 and you make the food every single day because that's the food it takes to work. So there was a way that I came into, you know, even the marriage estate with so much zeal that, you know, I can do. But, you know, the Lord just began to humble me in different seasons of my life, right? You know, in pregnancy, for instance, you know, in raising a child. And I began to see that one thing that keeps re-echoing, which I'm forever grateful to God for, the gift of Mommy Dupe. You know, I hear her voice in my head 1,001 times. And when she says that Jesus loves his women, you know, that thing, it cannot just leave my head. Like, I can see it. And I've experienced it to the point that I know that when I do some certain things well, I will sit on the throne. You know, I know it so well. And even with that knowledge, it makes me lay claim of certain things. For example, maybe I'm not feeling well, or the devil is telling me plenty lies. I will tell the devil that, see, I cannot have this thing. I cannot have this sickness because I'm walking in love. I'm housing the brethren. Like, I'm under authority. I love my husband. You know, it makes me draw up certain things, you know, as a defense to Satan. You know, seeing that transformation, you know, it got to a point that by certain obediences, I saw how that, you know, the Lord has changed the story. You know, the Lord has knocked out, you know, certain things. And I see how that, that Proverbs 31 woman, you know, it keeps getting more redefined day after day. You know, there's one verse that has been on my heart for some time now, you know, when it says that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. And the next one that says that she will do him good and not evil all the days, you know. And I see how that, you know, in my estate as a woman, I can come into that thing. You know, it's an attainment. You know, I can come into that place whereby in an estate of being married, you know, I can do my husband good all the days of my life. But it started by, you know, by the words that have been spoken of a journeying woman, you know, which we've heard a lot today. As you know, how that we know that we are moving from not just being a supernatural woman to being a spiritual woman and to being a divine woman. And I see that if I use this estate, and how I also, you know, how it has been interpreted much more to me in that Proverbs 31, I see that this woman, she's very hardworking. You know, she gives herself to many things and became more defined, you know, during MSI when Pastor Ken was trying to explain the fivefold ministry and how it affects our natural. You know, I was trying to tie it that if I give myself to some certain things in the natural, you know, you don't know the capacity you have. You don't know how much you think you can do. I just want to quickly share something. You know, I remember when I just put to bed, when I gave birth to Petwell, and there was an analgesic they gave me, whereby they said I must not raise up my head, right? But I don't know what happened in the surgery room. I raised up my head and I had this terrible headache. You know, terrible headache that for some days I kept on regretting why I had to go through, like why I had to give birth. Like I kept on regretting why, like what is, like the headache was so terrible that on one of those days we had to call the gynae that, this thing is actually, because they told me at the hospital that they don't even have a cure for that headache, right? And it was very bad. So the doctor said, okay, lie down flat on your head. Like, don't use a pillow, just lie flat. I tried it. It didn't work. At some point, he said that, okay, buy Coke, drink Coke. Someone that just gave birth. I said, our body is fresh. Don't drink whole thing. I bought Coke. I drank Coke. But I just had a short relief. After that, the thing came back. And that headache kept at it. To the point that I was even getting angry. I was angry with my husband, angry with everybody around me. That, okay, why this pain as a woman? But you know one thing I learned is how that the Lord loves his women. So one of those days, the Holy Ghost just began to bring conversations to my heart. That do you know that when you begin to agree to this estate, when you begin to agree to why I made you a woman, these things can live. You know, and right there and then, I began to make certain resolutions. Like, I began to resolve in my heart that, no, this thing is not the end. Like, I began to just take a different thought. And I just saw how that many seasons, the Lord has a response to that thing you are going through. You know, that thing that makes it seem like it's not what's the point of being a woman. But I still desire that estate again and again. Yeah. You know? And as I began to make such resolution, I began to agree with the Lord that no, it's not my husband's fault. It's not the doctor's fault. Okay, I raised up my head. You know, as I began to, I'm not lying, that thing disappeared. Like, till now, I don't have it again. You know, because they really heightened it, that, oh, this, that. But I just saw that by my response, and I saw how the Lord can meet with us. You know, there is a woman. You know, Mama keeps saying something that, like, Mama will say that there is a modupe in the heart of God. And I really desire it, that there's a dummy in the heart of God, that by my obedience, you know, by my staying under, by my following, I can come into that point of being that woman in the heart of God. You know, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm not speaking like one that is already made. I see myself very, very low when it comes to God's standard. That I'm a lot of things, I see myself, I'm not meeting up. So I don't usually come out like to come out and speak and say, okay, this is what, this is that. Okay, growing up, after my primary school, my elder brother brought me to Lagos. So I was staying with him. He wasn't going to church. He was still a bachelor then, not married. He has a very rough life, but I came from the village going to church. I was a CAC church goer, you know. Seeing the whole of those things, it was just the Lord, because our neighbor there that was living by us was a Deeper Life member. So most times she encourages me to just to not to listen to brother and all of that, because brother will go out and bring different girls and all of that. So when I come in, I'm like, what is this? How do I cope? He said, if I complain, he will take me back to the village. That is the only solution. But the Lord kept me there for a reason, up until I got married. Okay, I got married to my lovely husband. I see it as a favor, a blessing, because at the time my husband came, I was not thinking of marriage. But through the help of God, even the date that was not accepted, because when he came, my brother said no, that I was not going to get married, that they were not going to allow me. But through prayers, his mom was a prayer warrior, when CPM and all of that, through the prayers and all, they choose the date we already picked before that day. So we went after the marriage and all of that. So I was just saying that I am weak. But after my first child, which was through CS, so I decided that anything childbearing, I was not going to go into it again, because I didn't want to go have my child through CS. But the Lord allowed it. But I was seeing it like someone that goes to church, a believer, should not go through CS. Not knowing that it was my ignorance, that it was a provision from the Lord, which I had my daughter. In fact, my four children, I had them through CS. The Lord kept me and nothing happened to me. So coming into marriage estates, I see that a woman has strength to nurture. She might go through season, different season, but having the Lord by your side, you might cry at times. Sometimes you might weep. You might like, what was all this happening to me? But I know that the Lord has been by my side right from when I entered into the marriage up to date. Because there has been a season that, like, can this be? Can the marriage continue? Is this Satan just trying to taint my heart and all of that? But I see that the moment I just give myself to the Lord, the Lord comes to me, like, temper my heart and pumps me to tell me that you are in the right hand. You are saved. So most of the times, how the Lord have helped me is when I go through the scripture, I pay attention to the scripture. The Lord always comes to me, like, tell me that the situation is not the end. He has used that season to really, really comfort my heart, to help me. So I would say that most of the time, I'm anxious for many things. But this scripture has been like, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by supplication and prayer, let your requests be made known to God. I always want things fast. Whenever anything comes up, I just want it fast. But my husband is not that kind of, he will tell me, wait. When he makes the decision, it comes out beautifully. For myself, I just want it now, now. I just want it to be done now, now. But the Lord has helped me that I cannot wait. I cannot listen to him like, Onyi, what do you have to say concerning these things? Or he said, okay, go and pray about it. Then now I can wait. I see that the Lord have beautiful thoughts concerning me. He have a good thoughts for me. He's mindful of me. There's a way I can define myself. Okay, I can't do this, I can't do that. But that's not how the Lord is seeing me. There's so much beauty the Lord have put inside of me. It's just for me to, like, take it one step at the other. I don't know.
So much, Mommy Nancy. Can we put our hands together for them? Thank you so much, Ma. That was a blessing. You know, I just kept seeing how, you know, a woman will go through different things. But what the Lord is seeing in all of it is salvation. How to save us. Scripture says that she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue. You know, I just see how the entire, you know, story about a woman, you know, is for salvation. And Stadami said something that Mommy always says, that Jesus loves his women. You see women that have been around Jesus, and we have seen how, you know, he has changed them. See Mary Magdalene, she had devils. Jesus encountered her, and she couldn't let go. Even till his death, she was there. So when God thinks about you as a woman, you know, the Lord is thinking salvation. The Lord is thinking peace. He's thinking reconciliation. And regardless of, you know, what the devil or the world may paint, I don't see how a woman goes through a lot, childbearing, taking care, but in the midst of everything, God is thinking salvation, you know. And Mommy always says that a woman, you have an opportunity to sit on the throne by doing womanhood well. And womanhood is not only marriage. Even as a single sister, there's a supply that, you know, you must allow the Lord to walk upon your heart, that even when you get married, you know, you will be a blessing. You'll be a supply because you've allowed the Lord. Through all the estates, you know, I just see, like, that feminine expression is, when you think about a female, it's not just marriage. as a single sister, when they say they help me, it's not just my mom. Meg was saying it, even as a single person, because they will be divorced, they will be separated, different manners of women. But the most important thing is, you know, if you're allowing the Lord to make you to be that kind of woman, what God has in mind for women this year is to harvest women in dominion, is to raise everlasting women. During the video, Mommy also said about raising supernatural women, spiritual women, and divine women. You know, and you are better allow the Lord, you know, do this work. Women are not forged inside AC and, you know, having the best of everything. They are forged through processes, subjection. And I trust that the Lord would help us, you know, not to shy away from our dealings as women and not to shy away from the path, you know. But I want you to know, regardless of everything, that God loves his women. Amen. Thank you so much for that blessing. The next question, you know, has to do with, you know, the preparations that are needed for a bride. Right, or for a woman. You know, scripture says in Revelation, Mommy also quoted that scripture, how, you know, it says that the bride has made herself ready. You know, she did not wait on a man to make her ready. She did not wait on the society to make her ready. It says the bride has made herself ready. It means that there were some things that the bride was paying attention to. In those seasons of purification, you know, we see in the book of Esther, the seasons, the 6 months and the other 6 months of purification, there were things that a bride needs to do. So I want to just ask us, you know, what kind of preparations did the Lord help you make as a single sister that contributed to your preparedness when marriage came? So what things did you pay attention to? Were there things that you paid attention to when you were single that has helped you even in this estate of being married? And were there things that also maybe you didn't pay attention to as much, but maybe the lack also showed? Because that's the beauty of this session. It's not just about all the things we did right, all the things we did well, even things that you feel that, oh, you could have done better when you were single, so that our single sisters as well can be helped. They won't make the same mistakes. So were there preparations that you paid attention to that you feel, you know, helped you to do well in this estate called marriage? And were there also preparations that you feel like, ah, if I had paid attention more to this area, I would have been able to be a helpmeet much more to my husband in this season of marriage? So
thank you, Ma. So I think I'll start with the latter, like preparations that maybe I didn't really pay attention to, and I kind of saw the lack when I got married. I think maybe two things that really stayed on my heart. You know, the first is what has been echoed, like, every time when we meet, you know, I think is, in my own word, learning to abound and abase and trusting in the Lord. You know, there's a way that you say that you're trusting in the Lord, but you're trusting in man. So growing up, even when it seemed like I'm trusting in the Lord, there's a way I have one kind of backup that my daddy will soon send me money, we supply. So I was that kind of a girl that I was getting money steadily. Even when I was still serving, we still send you money. Even when you start working, you just feel like, oh no, maybe the money you are just earning is not enough. I want to like try to add something to it. But you know, coming into the marriage estate, I love my husband too much. He's a dealing of the Lord to me. And you know, I got married to a man that began to, I think the Lord just made him see that thing, that this thing is a lack. And he began to say, okay, my wife, you have to look to God. You know, as, mommy, God bless you, ma. You know, I remember a conversation, my mama would say that, Lord told her how that she should not look to man, look to God. You know, at that point, you think it's so easy to do that, yes, now I can look to God. But it was not easy. A practical example, when we had Jedidiah, yes, I saw money entering his account, and I just needed a bag, a baby bag. How much is a baby bag? It's not up to 20,000 naira, I mean. Like, I just needed a baby bag. And I was like, my husband, there's money. My husband said that the money is not for the bag. You have to look to God for that money to come. It did not make any sense. Like, it did not make any sense. I'm like, Shebi, the Lord can bless me through you now. Shebi, that's why we are together. Like, I always hide under that, oh, like, me, I'm a salary earner, he does business. I'm like, that because of me, the Lord can bring business your way. Really, really, the Lord can actually bring business's way. But he just knew that this lady is learning to depend. You know, my mommy was saying the extreme, that independent woman. My own was dependent woman. And, like, initially, I struggled with it because I was like, it did not make any sense. But, you know, really, really, the time I began to, I'm still learning it though. I've not perfected it. But I can count how that, you know, looking unto God, the Lord actually met my need. the Lord actually brought that provision, you know. Another thing is that place of, you know, when they say single sisters love the Lord wholeheartedly, you know, it's real, because your husband will not fill that gap that you have. He's not made to fill that gap. Because even when you have that husband, there will still be a lack if you don't fill it with the right thing. It happened to me. Yes, as a single, I loved the Lord. I was all over following after the Lord. But I saw that the Lord required more. And marriage tested it. Like, there are many things that happened to me that when you think you are the only one that this is happening to, I would just go for a couple's meeting and she share her testimony. I'll just be like, okay, so it's not only me. You know, and getting married, yes, the Lord began to, for us, Mama did our counseling, and when Mama began to say that, a woman, don't stay in that place whereby the Lord will not be able to use your husband, I felt like, no, I can't block the Lord, it's not possible. But I really saw it firsthand, you know, when I just got married, after they gave him that 3 weeks after choir, and it began choir rehearsal. I've never stayed in the house alone in my entire life. And when my husband said he's going for vigil, I'm like, why do choir need vigil? Like, why? Me, my own church, we go to church 5 p.m. on Saturday. Some days you may not even do rehearsal. You will sing on Sunday, not you go. And it was first once in a week, twice in a week. I'm like, what's going on here? And there are days that, Jesus, I want to manipulate my husband, that I should not go. Like, I'll throw tantrums, want to cry. I'll be the only one at home. But, you know, the Lord began to show me that it's because you really don't have something you want to fill up that space with. You know, it took a while, yeah, because, you know, then when the Lord wanted to deliver me, when I thought that I've gotten victory, that, oh, it's not my inquiry, then it now became resource team. They had VG. I'm like, God, what is it? What is it? But, you know, and I just needed to step back and just inquire of the Lord. And the Lord was like, this time, when he's going for retreat, you to do your retreat at home. Like, fill it up with something. Like, really, it was a tough one. Honestly, I had to learn it. Like, it now got to a point that when he's even leaving, he says he's not coming back. I'm like, okay, no problem. I have a lot of things I need to be. Like, but I just saw how that if I had really given myself wholly to that thing, I would have seen that really, really, a man cannot step into that place. It's only the Lord that can fill that place. Then on the other side, you know, I really thank God for how he orchestrated my path to go to University of Lagos. It's one thing that I'm forever grateful to God every day because of. I did not just get a degree. I got God, and I got a company of friends, you know. Yes, I attended the home church there. I don't know anything about pastoring. I don't know what it means to submit to somebody, all of that. But I think along the course of my study in school, then I used to envy RCF brethren because my friends, all of them, my pastor this, my pastor that, my pastor this. I'm like, wahala. And but the Lord just made, I just began to desire, like, oh, Mr., I want to have a pastor. Then my friends, like, carry, they all had pastors. I'm like, okay. And yes, I just began to pray, okay, God, Mr., I want a pastor. And thank God for the provision. As at then, we had gathered pastor. I had to take myself and say, oh, yeah, I want to submit to a pastor. And the Lord really gave me a pastor. And he was not just informing that pastor, right? It was more of submitting. And I didn't know that, you know, I was even learning it for a estate of marriage, whereby I never saw it that I would get married and I want to do something. I was going to say, you cannot do it. You know, as little as maybe I just feel like I want to go and buy some, I want to go and shop. And he said, you cannot go. I'm like, what's going on here? But thank God for those trainings whereby, like, I had pastors that could tell me that, no, you can't do this. And even in preparing for marriage, yes, I think the Lord brought to my members how that there were certain obediences I needed to do, even with respect to, you know, fully declaring to your pastor. And there was a way the Lord made it around me that I knew that something was hanging over me, that except I do this thing wholeheartedly. And I saw that the time I began to fully submit, like submission, you know, and even, you know, learning the culture of submission, you know, I'm still learning it though, honestly. There's still a whole lot because I fight with the many submission commandments. But I saw that thing, then even, you know, when they say being subjected also, yes, I saw how that the Lord also helped my part, you know, serving out of Lagos, you know, that thing, it really worked something in my heart, you know, and how that you can not seeing your own self, right, you know. I just saw that provision that the Lord orchestrated, and I thank God that, you know, I did not run out of it because I had every reason to come back to Lagos from Kebbi, even down to when I went for my master's in Port Harcourt, thanks to Mama, you know. Even then, I thought that, oh, solo life, I could just stream Love Seal. But Mama was like, no, you have to go physically to a local assembly. You know, it didn't make so much sense because I had to travel all the way. But I saw that those things, they really count and they really matter. You know, it was a stretching period, but it was worth it. You know, so I thank God for those trainings. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mama. Mommy Nancy, do you want to add to that question?
While I was living with my elder brother, so we have a stepbrother who has already gotten married and he was giving birth. So whenever the wife put to bed, they always invite me over to, like, help to take care of the little one. So I was always going there to assist to take care of the children. So I had to do, like, take care of the house. I learned that from that, my auntie. So I was able to, like, learn most of the things. When I got married, I married to my dear husband. And the mom was living with us, the sister, and few friends. My sister-in-law has a friend. And my husband also had a friend that was staying with him. So all of us, we were staying in that apartment. And we didn't rent another place because we were very rich. So we had to stay in that house. So I was able to, because I'm already used to people going out at the assisting, I really served. In fact, when you enter the house, you barely know that, is this person a wife or a maid? So because one of the days, one of his friends came from Zikano, when he came in and served him and all that. So he was looking like, where is your wife? He now pointed at me like, this is my wife. He said, wow, beautiful. So it was just like that. So in relating with people, I was used to it. So there was not anything like, this thing is a burden to me, like that. Okay, that was the part that I said I did well. I don't know. Until you meet them and ask them, was I doing well them or not? They are the one that would say, okay, maybe the wife was okay or she was not giving us trouble. So that is that. Before my mother-in-law passed, she lived with us till she died 2013. And I got married 2008. So my sister-in-law got married 2009. Some other ones, after a while, it was just me, my husband and the kids. So the other part where I felt I didn't do well was like my communal life. I was seeing it like, I didn't really do well because I was so encumbered with those things. I was helping others to do and all of that. So my prayer life was not that strong. So I always like struggle. So most time when there are things, maybe there's challenges, instead of me running to the Lord, it's cry. I just be there crying, weeping, like, what is wrong with you? Nothing. But inside of me, I'm mourning and weeping like, what is all this? This is what I expected and all of that. I just knew that I was not where I'm supposed to be. Recently, the Lord began to help me, like, open my eyes, like, the reason why you cannot bear is because you lack strength. You need strength to be able to take care of those things. Those things are already there. And even when they are not there, when they come to you, they're already strength. The strength is in the Word of God. So you need strength to be able to take care of challenges. So that is what I would say.
Thank you so much, Ma. That's such a blessing. It means that, you know, there are some virtues that even as single sisters that we must trust God to trap. You know, she was speaking about the place of communion. There are some things that marriage cannot answer to. Marriage cannot fill those voids. If you have not seen the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've not come to have a relationship with Him, your husband will not give that to you and you will just be frustrated. Right? There are some preparations, there are some deckings. Imagine just throwing you into a home of your mother-in-law, your husband's friend, everybody that is watching, they are marking your scripts. Imagine not delivering in that kind of situation. That lack, that hard work that you did not do when you were single, when you were living in a home and you were dodging and hiding, it will show. It will always reveal. You don't even know what the Lord is preparing you for. You don't know the kind of man you are going to marry. You don't know, maybe he's the firstborn, the parents are late, he has many children, they are living with, you don't even know, you know, the kind of environment that you are going to find yourself in. But one thing is that, you know, as you are single, live. Don't just wait for marriage to, you know, it's how we just postpone our living and marriage will answer it. They are saying that marriage does not answer it. Give yourself to your raising. The bride has made herself ready. You make yourself ready for the Lamb. Thank you so much. That was such a blessing. It will just take me to the next question. I think, Sister Esther, before we go to the last round of questions. It has to do with virtues. You know, there's this divide between being a single sister and being married. Some people just feel as you're married, you're already a step higher than a sister that is single. How many of us have that feeling? We just feel, oh, once you get married, you're already higher than your sisters that are single, right? Not knowing that, you know, what really, like I was saying, what really makes the married person older in that sense is yielding to the processes, yielding to commandments, allowing the Lord in that marriage as well to deal with you. So I want to just ask you, were there virtues that you feel, you know, being married couldn't have helped you trap? That those estates, you could only have gotten them when they're single. When people are rushing, like some people are saying that, the question you should be asking yourself is that, am I ready for marriage? When people are rushing to say, oh, I want to get married, you know, I just want to get to a place where people can honor me more, respect me more, until the man comes, what are those virtues that one can trap? You know, what are the virtues that you trapped as a single sister that marriage could not have given you those virtues? That in that area, it is only given to a single person to get. You can't get it in the midst of being married. Are there areas, you know, just to exalt the place of also being single? Because singleness is not a curse. Waiting is not a curse. You are single, there is something to do. There are virtues to trap. Because the truth is that marriage will come at the end of the day. After a while, you might feel like, oh, if you don't give yourself to raising, you're not listening to what they are saying, there's a time that they will not allow you to remain single again. You will get to some ages and they will say, this person has to go. Let them just marry. What would you have in that season? So it's not just about, oh, what when I eventually marry. Marriage will definitely come. I want us to know that marriage will come. I hope we know that marriage will come. Mommy has said it, daddy has said it, that they don't have, you know. So it means that one day you will marry. That married I want to marry, you will marry. But how would you be in that marriage?
Thank you so much. I would say something from what our mommy said this morning. You know, as a woman, regardless of the estate you find yourself, you are a helpmate. You know, you are a supporter, you are a support system. You know, I would say one thing that I learned, one of the virtues that God helped me, I wouldn't say it's a complete or perfect work yet, but, you know, that thing is the place of being a help. Like I was saying earlier, like for the first 23 years of my life, I didn't have sense of being help to anybody. Growing with my parents, I've seen out that somewhere I saw lack. At least I went to school. My parents, they didn't do more than SSC. But I've seen lack that I just felt like, let everybody do their own thing. You know, as small as, okay, I think when my mom gave birth to our last two siblings, they were very young and, you know, my dad was trying to write appreciation letter to the church. And he made a grammatical error. I saw it, but I just felt like, if that's what he chose to write. And that was how the letter went to church. You know, was when I came back home after church that day and we're just talking. And actually growing up, staying in the house, I don't usually come around. I'm just by myself. I stay alone in the house. I can do everything he asked me to do, but just let me be. You know, when he came back that day, and I don't know, we're just talking, I just said it out of, maybe she mistake, no, you know, I just said it like, I didn't see it as anything serious. I was like, that was how you made the mistake, and you wrote this instead of this. My dad was pained. Like, you know, I just said that to say that if I had continued like that, I cannot be a helpmate to my husband. We're not separate entity anymore. We are one. But growing up, I didn't see myself as part of my own biological family. Like, that was what happened. You know, but I saw how God came through. Even when I said, okay, when I was in university and I started hearing the word of righteousness to an extent, at that point, I wouldn't say I was fully given to it. But, you know, I started hearing and I began to see how that you cannot live all by yourself, even though I didn't integrate so well then. You know, but at the point where the thing started eating me deep was when I, after service here, and I just knew that I cannot continue like this. The relationship I was in since my teenage year, the guy was saying, no, you cannot tell me not anymore. I'm like, ah, oh God, I've moved though. You know, but it was there like, you cannot tell me not anymore. Even though at that point, you know, I was still torn apart, like, do I want to continue? There's a lot of prospect here. He's already doing well. I helped to manage his first, second building. You know, he had everything all fixed, some sort. You know, so that was something that was still holding me back, where I couldn't give myself only, you know. But that thing of not being able to integrate as part of a family was one thing I think God helped me with by, you know, he orchestrated a dealing that I had to stay in Pastor Moses' house till tomorrow. If I remember how it happened, I'm like, only God can work this thing. You know, staying in his house made me, to an extent, integrate, because I don't want to imagine the kind of wife I would have been right now if that season didn't come over my life. You know, staying with them made me see how that, Esther, you cannot do life all by yourself. Maybe growing up, them, I'd always felt like I have a lot of advantage. Even growing up, my parents, they would say, there's a way Esther reasons fast. When everybody is thinking about 1, 2, 3, I've actually thought far ahead, and I don't know, I know it was a wrong wisdom, sort of. Because even when there's just a way it felt like Esther was smarter than everybody, she just knew how to put things together. But I saw how God brought on that thing, and there was a level of stop that even at when you asked me to talk, I sincerely, I would tell you, I don't even know what to say, because I just became somewhere dumb somewhere. But I saw that the Lord needed me to go slow. That going slow was necessary. So I would say, during those time of being single under Pastor Moses' house, a lot of things was added. And I would say one thing that anytime I think about it, it just talk with me, that I know that if I didn't get that thing, Omo, my husband would suffer. Because I remember telling Pastor then, when he was talking about marriage, I said, for me, I'm not sure, I don't want to marry a man that is not sharp, sharp. Like, you can make decision. I need somebody that, I said the word, I said, Daddy, I cannot marry somebody that is not man enough. My definition of man enough is, you have to be bold. You have to be intelligent. You know, you should be able to stand before people and everybody can say, yes, this is a man. No, sincerely, I told him, I said, I don't want a man that on the outside you look weak. When you stand, let them know this is a man. You know, I told him then, and he was like, you know, one thing that he just told me there, he just said, Esther, what? Let me tell you something. He said, one thing he has come to realize is that every woman on the outside, or maybe talking to other pastors, you have seen that look as though every man, they seem faster than their husband. They are always faster. They get things right. Even in picking some things in the spirit, they can be very fast. He said, but one thing that would be on your undoing is that if you feel because of that you are better than your husband, or you want to lord it over your husband, he said, Esther, you are done for. You know, he said, you are done for. And I wouldn't like, if I did not learn that in his house, because I would say that's one thing. Thank God for mercy. I learned it. And sincerely, up until now, if there's anything, there are times I want to make decision in the house and I see how that is looking as if, Esther, you've picked it. But because of that thing, when it comes to my mind again, you know, there's just a way it helps me to go slow. I know there are times that I want to confront my husband, like, this thing is not like that. But I found help, you know, I just find mercy to be able to go to God in prayer instead of just confronting. And in the place of praying sincerely, sometimes he has even gone ahead and would do it like this, but just come back and be like, thank you, my wife. I think what you said is what we should do. Sincerely, if I did not learn it, I know there are a lot of jargons and orishi-rishi, but I'll just say that particular one is really standing out. It's something I'm still learning every day, but if I did not learn that as a single woman, sincerely, I cannot come and learn it. Now, I'll just give my husband a lot of trouble, because he might not talk, but I know that in the sight of God, I'm not doing it. I don't have any praise reports in the spirit. They're just seeing a woman that's just unruly, disorderly, and dishonoring. So I'm just
stopping. Thank you so much. Can we clap? Let's put our hands together for them. It's been such a blessing. I hope we are taking note. As in the few minutes that they are spending, so much is being said. You know, I just see how in marriage, some of the lack that we display when we are married is from areas that we have not done well when we were single. So if there are lacks in your life right now, you know, as a single person, just be ready that it might even become more, because now somebody will be seeing you more intimately. They will see you more. Before, maybe your sister's face value, now they know you, and your weakness will be exposed. You know, so she spoke about community life, you know, blending into a community. You know, if you've not learned how to blend into a community, that's why they say, you know, before you get married, live in a community. Live in a household. You know, Mommy and Pastor Peter during the, you know, the community service has defined what a household is. I don't think there's anybody that should be here and you're not part of a household. You're just living in solitary. Except, you know, for a season, maybe you are confined, maybe your parents and pastor, yourself pastors, you know, our pastors are aware of it. Aside from that, just by yourself, you have the opportunity to, you know, enjoying yourself with a household and you choose to stay by yourself, just know that you're not doing well. Because, you know, it's also a preparation, you know, for that. So you spoke about, you know, also waiting. You know, many times we find that women, one of our issues that always shows is that we don't know how to wait. I don't know about some people, maybe some people are more, but women, I think our frame also just, you know, there's that we just want things done fast at once. And we just see everything and we come to a conclusion that this is how we should be. And the men are thinking more. They are considering so many aspects that you are not considering. You are just in the temporary. One thing also as a single person is to also learn to wait. Not to be too hasty. You can deal with haste even as a single person. If not, you will give your husband problem when you get married. You know, and you don't even know, you know, how much an impact it can be. Another area also that I also talk about, how to speak to a man, how to speak to a man. You just see some sisters, you might be friends with your brother and just feel, because you are age mates, just slap their head, just talk to them anyhow, call them names. You will do the same thing to your own husband. So your brothers that you are seeing around you, use them to also practice how to speak to. There's a way that you must not speak to a man. Even if everything that you want to say is good, by the time you package it in that aura, they will not take it from you anymore. And you would cause a lot of roadblocks in marriages. There are so many things that, you know, they've said today that are places, you know, of learning points. So, you know, right now, as you are waiting, you know, there's so much to learn and there's so much to grab. Thank you so much. We're going into the last section of questions and it's on submission. I'm not going to say much. I'll just allow them to speak. I know that before we get married, people have different ideas of submission. Personally, when I used to hear about submission before getting married, I used to feel like it's something easy because I don't think I've ever struggled with growing up, submitting to my dad or my elder brother. I just was the perfect child that could, you know. And people have different definitions of submission. Some people feel that once a man says, let's go this direction, you head there, that's submission. Some people feel like when a man says this, Sadara was given an example of maybe in a conversation, maybe with her husband, and then the husband is like, submission is not just whatever you say I do. Submission is contributing to the discussion, bringing something as well. You know, there are different definitions of submission. Some people feel submission is not talking. Some people feel submission is, you know, talking, supporting your husband, you know, being that wife. You know, there are different definitions, but I just want to ask us, you know, Sadami has been married for 3 years plus, Sister Esther 2 years plus. Mommy Nancy, 17 years plus. And, you know, what has changed in the idea of submission that you have had as a single woman when you became married? Because there's how they can say submission and you just flip through. That one, I'm okay with it. What changed as a married woman, you know? And was it the same or was it easier? Was when you got married, did you find out that submission was actually easier than what I've been hearing? It's not even that difficult. What are they even saying? Submit, submit. Or was it harder than planned? What were the realities? Are there examples that, you know, were there areas you shocked yourself that you felt, I'm okay, I can submit, but marriage revealed that, you know, you don't even yet know how to submit, you know? So you can just help us for our single sisters, our sisters getting married, and even us that are married. How, you know, what your definition of submission has been over the years?
It's not about how many years you have been married. It's about doing it according to the will of God.
Wow. That's that one alone. We're so...
So, growing up, submission, I was seeing submission like when you want to serve your husband, you kneel down, give him food and all of that, make his food. But submission is deep. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. My husband used to say something. If you want to say you are submitting or you want to serve, you should ask the person how he wants to be served, because you can actually do everything running around and you're not getting the rating the person need. So having to submission, I'll see it like is like art of honoring, serving. You're serving all that because you're not the one receiving it. You need to know how to serve that person well. Because you can think that cooking the best soup or giving the person the best dish might make him feel honored and all of that, but you're not getting the rating. So I would say to my sisters, if you want to submit, you actually ask the Lord how you should submit. Yes, because if you do it with your head knowledge, you might miss it. You might just be giving maybe flowers and all of that. For our sister that is going into marriage, is to know how your husband wants to be served, what he likes, and what he really called honor. So for the older ones, I would say that it's still God. You still need to talk to the Lord about it. It's not something I can do with my just head knowledge. This is what I want to do. I just do it that way. Over time, I've done it. Like, let me just do it. Like, please, my husband, give me a special food. We just say thank you. I might waste all my time cook the whole lot of the day, but I've not gotten the written. So if you want to really, really know how to submit, go to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Master Dami.
Thank you so much, Ma. I think mine is also similar to, you know, what Mommy Nancy said, you know, how that, you know, there's a way that I thought submission was, you know, submission is not what you think in your heart that is submission, because there's somebody that you're submitting to. So it's that person that will tell you, you know, even though I feel that sometimes, maybe for us, maybe they are married, sometimes maybe our husband, they don't want to really, so that it doesn't look like they are demanding, yes. But sometimes by conversation, you will know. Maybe one quick example that came to mind is, you know, growing up, I saw my mom, there's a way she sets the table or she packages my daddy's food. But my husband is like, this cooler is scenery. Don't do this cooler. Just serve it, let's eat. You know, and I think at some point I wanted to know what was in my mind. I feel like that appearance, and one day said, if you put it in this cooler, I will not eat the food. I say, okay. Then the Lord can show me that it's not what you think. It's not my own definition. Even maybe the way I like to appear. There's a way that I just feel like there's a way I have to wear this kind of clothes. And my husband is like, no, like, don't dress this way. This is the way I want. At some point, I was like, is that this one is old school? What exactly? But really, it is, who are you doing it to? You know, and it is as unto the Lord. You know, it is what the Lord would have you do through what you can perceive that your husband would like, and not my own definition. So I saw that it was not as easy as I thought it was. And it's not hard, because there's also a place that I do also want to come under and take instruction. I want to do it by according to my own knowledge. So that is how
it has. Thank you so much. I don't want to say something like that scripture that says that let every woman know how to submit to her own husband. Right, Mommy has said this one of those days. I don't know if it was a bridal blessing and grooming, where she said, to every man, honor is different. Yes. Sister Esther, Sister Toby, to Bro Shalom, Bro Solomon, don't bring your own idea of submission or what you have seen your mommy do that works for your dad. Yes. We have seen even some of our parents and pastors that, as in, they don't believe that as a wife, you have to come and kneel down to give food. You now go and bring that one. Like my husband, for instance, I just remember when you were saying about the cooler one. You have gone to work all day. I've also gone to work. You come back. You enter kitchen. You spend 5 hours inside kitchen. Because on days that I want to cook, I just cook. And I'm exhausted. And it's like, I want my wife. Like, don't worry. I say, what will you eat? I'll be busy budging. What will you eat? He will say, don't worry. I'll be fine. Leave the food. Even though in my mind, I know that it's me that will still feel bad when he doesn't have, you know, because my husband has a lot of food, whatever, that I have to be the one to be in the kitchen to make his food. Everything is, every single thing he eats. And he's like, leave the food. I'm like, how can this be? What are you going to eat? Because you will not eat what other people are cooking. So, but at that moment, you know, of course, I struggle a lot of times. My sisters bear me witness. But one of those days, I just had to leave the food. And, you know, it was fine. Maybe it's Gary, even Jack, that it was. My husband likes Gary. He was happily drinking the Gary. And I just want you, just come. Just let's just be together. I've not seen you all day. I don't even know what's going on. You're in the kitchen. So for me, I just feel like submission for different men. If I insisted and said, as a wife, I must cook, my husband must eat this, you will just miss out on that blessing, you know, that is in there for you. So in that moment, my submission was to leave everything I was doing in the kitchen and just go and be with my husband. I'm so sorry for the time. Sister Esther, I'll just take yours and then we'll leave.
Thank you so much, Ma. I think I don't have anything different, you know. One thing that's just standing out in my heart is, you know, not my will. Your will. It's not the way I want it. You know, just like Mama Kari said, there's just a way you want to do one thing and you feel like this is the best way to go. But he's saying, this is the way I want it. Can we go? Like this morning, I'm sorry I want to say this, my husband, but you know, for me, I didn't want to come here like this. But you know, it was like, don't use wig. I like your hair. Like, for me, I'm not so comfortable. It was like, no. Why do you just like this wig up and down? In fact, when Mommy was saying, plait your hair, he sent me a message.
Submission pays. Reward of submission.
You know, he said, you see, Mommy said, plait your hair. And I'm like, sincerely, Pastor David Delegar or someone that was coming, like, my countenance, I wasn't so happy when I was come because this is not the way I wanted to come. But, you know, because he said it, I just saw that sometimes it's not the way you want it. And not sometimes. Submission is not the way we always want it. You know, it's the person we are serving. So the summary for me is not my will, but your will. Because the truth is, it's not just about our husband right now. Submission is a thing of the heart. If I cannot submit to my husband, obviously I'm not submitting to the Lord. You know, so that's just where I went it, like, not my will, your will. But it's not actually hard, sincerely. Because the truth is, if the Lord has helped us as single to submit somewhere, because thank God for our pastors and authority over us, we are supposed to learn submission all through, submitting one to another, you know, before we come to a place of submitting to our husband. So it's not like we are slaves. Like they say, it's our calling. And sincerely, it's a privilege that we are learning to do that now, because eventually we are doing it unto the Lord. So that's just the summary
submission of submission is a privilege. Can we thank God? Can we just begin to thank God for this session as we go back to our seats? Can we put our hands together for all our panelists?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.